Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. So excited to be together today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. It's a very simple process that we do for that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you wouldn't mind, take that pew pad, open it up, write your name, contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when it reaches you, please send it back to where it got started. And the first person, when it comes back your way, please tear out the pages that were used today. And our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help with that. Several things happening in the life of our church. Many of them are listed there in your bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. So make sure you make note of those. I will remind the children, we are having children's time, just to come down here for a few moments and talk with me. We are having Monday morning Bible study tomorrow, normal schedule this week. I will say, dinner and a show.
We need to work on it for next week. That was there.
Dinner and a show. Okay, we're getting there. Dinner and a show. They do respond well to command. That's pretty good. Mary's got them trained. That's right. I'm not going to repeat that. We are having that March 24th and 25th. That is our youth missions fundraiser. Our young people have been working very hard. Our parents have been working very hard to prepare for this event. There are 240 possible seats. Strike that. There's only about 140 seats left. We've almost sold half of our seats in a week, which is great. So we need for you, if you're planning on going, we'll make sure that you get those seats. There are people at there's a sales table as you leave sanctuary today. There will also be every Wednesday and Sunday until dinner and show, we will have those available. We're very excited about that coming up at the end of this month. Bette Matthews.
In your bulletin this morning, you'll find like it's library full of pamphlets. But I want to show you one. I want you to pay attention to this one, and please take it home and read it, because there are six featured, actually it's all good, whatever you read, but there are six featured missionaries in here. And since it is the week of prayer, the really great thing about this, you don't have to sit there with your family or however you do your devotions and go, okay, how am I going to pray for these people? It tells you right down here how to pray for them, what they need in your prayers. So it's really easy to follow. It tells you a little bit about each one, what they're doing. But it also represents thousands of other missionaries who need your prayer support and your sacrificial giving. And speaking of sacrificial giving, next Sunday will be our walk down for missions, for North American missions. There'll be a cross down here somewhere. And during the first hymn, you'll be able to come, if you would like to, at that point, give your offering as an act of worship. In the pews, there'll be envelopes as well as in your bulletin today. So if you want to hang on to those and bring it next Sunday, that would be great. I was going through my mother's, one of her Bibles, recently, and this little piece of paper fell out when I was looking for something else. And I picked it up and read it, and it really made me think about missionaries hearing the call from God to go. And it also made me think about the fact that all of us and our GAs and RAs sitting down here know this. They can be missionaries too. We can all be missionaries. We're all asked to spread the gospel. It's called Go Now with God. Go now with God. Be not tempted to stay in the safety of known places. Move from where you are to where God points. Hasten from here toward a God who beckons. Go now with God. Be not tempted to go only in your time. When it suits, where it's sure. Bestir yourself now, for now is God's time. Go now with God. Go in the faith that there is no valley so low, no wilderness so vast, no passage so crooked, no way so confused that God is not already there waiting to be with you.
Thank you, Beth. As we look to communion today and we consider all the ways that we have opportunity to be a missionary, to share the light of Christ's love with our community, as is our tradition on communion days, at the end of the service today, there will be young people at each exit to collect benevolent offering. We just want, on those days when we remember Christ, we want a tangible way for those who are willing and able to give financially to the benevolent need that we have here in our community. So just know at the end of the service, if you see a basket, you are welcome to give, but it's not certainly not required. But just as an act of worship above our tithe, this is just a further way that we can tangibly reach out to our community. And so we thank you for all the ways that College Park serves the people of our area. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers are going to come down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. It's March. Spring is on the way, which means summer is on the way, which means no more snow is on the way. I know. It has snowed in March before, but you know what? It's a day that we have been given. It's not a day that we have earned. It's not a day that we made on our own. The very breath that we have is a gift. And so no matter what the weather says, no matter how busy our calendars look, this moment is a gift, and the next. Why shouldn't we treat every moment as a gift? That's why we're here this morning. It is a gift to be together in worship, to be with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to sing glory and praise to God, to hear his word proclaimed, to be challenged and sent out to tell the world of the gift of God's love. Will you pray with me? Almighty Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. You are a gift to us. Our lives are our gift from you. May we not waste it today. May we stand tall and say, we know that our lives come from you. And because of that gift, because of the gratitude that we feel, we give you our lives back. So, Father, we pray in these moments that we would have the ears to hear you and the courage to stand. and the desire to share your love with all that we see. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Good to see everybody this morning. I have something I need to share with you. Has your mom or dad ever called a family meeting? Do you know what a family meeting? Okay, some of you were the cause of the family meeting. They had it without you. All right. I remember when I was your age, maybe a little older, my dad would call family meetings. We always had something to talk about. Do you think I wanted to be in those family meetings? No, because I knew that I was in trouble for something. But here's the thing that my dad always did for family meetings. He would go and he would get a big old steak and we would grill it out in the backyard and we would play games, and we would have a good time. That was really what our family meetings were about. Have you ever had grilled out in the backyard You like grilling out in the backyard. Sometimes, have you ever gone, like at Thanksgiving, do you go somewhere and have a special meal? Like for Thanksgiving or Christmas, maybe you'll go to grandma's house or maybe you go to a neighbor's house or maybe you'll go, everybody will come to your house and they have a special meal, right? Why do you think we have those special meals? You're celebrating Jesus at Christmas time. What else? Why, when it's Thanksgiving or maybe it's birthdays, why do we have those big meals? Absolutely. To be thankful for what we have and to be thankful for Jesus. There is something about a meal. When you eat together, there's something very, very special that happens. When you're having your favorite food and you're at a big table with your cousins or with your friends or with your parents, that's a cool time to be together. Meals together. They talk about that in the Bible a lot. And in fact, this morning, we're going to have a big old family meal. Now, you're not going to have steak. You're not going to have pizza. I know. But we have a family meal. We have a family meal together. We have communion. Basically, it's just a time for us to be together, to remember, to be thankful for what Jesus did. So what I want you to do, the next time you have a big meal, maybe you're having a big old hamburger, maybe you're having a big old piece of pizza, and you see people all around you, I want you, number one, to be thankful for the people that are around you. Number two, remember why we do communion. It's because we like eating together to remember. That's what a family meeting and a family meal can be all about. Will you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for this family meal that we're going to share. It's not so much about the food that we eat. It's about the people that we share the meal with. And what we remember because of the meal. This is all about Jesus. And we remember how much he loves us and how thankful we should be. So, Father, whether we're sharing a meal with our family at Thanksgiving or Christmas or at a family meeting or wherever, remind us of the family that we are in when we love you. The family of Christ, the body of Christ, the church. Thank you for these children who are so precious and so important to this family at College Park. Bless them, and may they know how special they are to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Choir, y'all.
I'm Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning in a season of Lent, on a morning that we will receive communion and remember Jesus and all that he has done for us. Thank you for him. We thank you for Raymond and Sandra and ask your special blessing and peace on their time away from us this weekend. Be with Steve as he brings us your message. Please accept this offering to your will. Bless the gift and the giver. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
The psalmist says in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Do you ever feel that way? Just get that real sense about being glad to come. Because today we've come with this great gift to worship. For God has granted us the opportunity to come to his house and to be in his presence. We this morning have had that place. We've listened through prayer and joined together in that gift. We've heard Jeff speak of the gift. We listened as the choir taught us to listen to and understand the glorious name of God. We shared together as we sang and were prompted to see the presence of God and celebrate His greatness and His goodness in our first hymn. The children. Wow. What a reminder of what we're here for and the joy that is in our hearts. And to remember that Christ has paid it all for all of us. What a gift of joy. And then just now to sing praise to God. What a gift this is to come to worship. For you see, worship is a gift from God. The gift of worship is what we have for us today. The gift of worship and the gift to worship and the gift to be in worship. And we have come to this place to worship God and to honor God and to celebrate God and to know of all the things that God has done for us. And as Christ, as God has invited us to come to worship, Christ invites us to His table. And as Christ invited us to worship, we are invited into the very presence of God. I'm reminded of a couple of stories from the Old Testament of, well, the Old Testament's full of those. It's like I told the 9 o'clock group. Raymond told us a couple of weeks ago how exhausted he was because he had so much stuff he wanted to tell you on Sunday morning and he just couldn't get it all out of his brain. I've been at this trying to write this for about 3 weeks and I've had about 1,000 sermons. I've actually rewritten one just this morning while waiting for the... At 9 o'clock I did. Y'all get the old one. But I'm reminded of a couple of stories from the Old Testament. One of Moses. We've heard about Moses in the 16 verses. Moses, who was invited into the presence of God at the burning bush, and Moses, who would enjoy the presence of God when he would go to receive the commandments, or when he would go into the Holy of Holies, or into some other location where God would call him to be. And every time he'd go, God would change him, and his face would glow. Or Isaiah, who was teleported into the very throne room of God in Isaiah chapter 6, and he said to God, "I am a man of unclean lips," and at which point the seraphim flew around and brought to him these burning coals and touched his lips so that his mouth would be cleansed, changed in worship. These are the stories that invite us into the presence of God, that invite us into His presence this morning, and that remind us of His presence always. This morning's scripture text is listed for you in your bulletin. It's 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29, that call us also to a place of invitation to the very presence of God, to the very gift of God, and to prepare ourselves for the table of Christ. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes again." So then, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Paul was clear. There is a very distinct and direct calling for us to prepare our hearts and souls to stand on the table, at the table of the Lord, to come to this place to receive and to remember the covenant and to celebrate here. And so we come to approach this, for this is the gift which we come to worship. This is the gift of our worship and for our worship and to our worship and through which we worship. So as we approach this gift of worship, we must ask ourselves, as Jeff adequately said earlier in his introduction, why are we here and what are we doing? What did we come here for? What have I done to prepare myself? What gift have I brought to honor God? for what God has done for me. And as Paul noted in his text, as we prepare to come to the table, we must ask ourselves, is it well with my soul before I speak and consume and receive the gift from God? You see, I heard a story years ago about a missionary who went to a church to speak, only to find out that they were having communion, and the pastor there was an interim pastor, said to them, "Oh, I didn't know we were having communion. That's okay. We'll just tag it on to the end. It'll be all right." And it drove me to start thinking within myself, when I was pastoring, do I tag this on, or how do I make this an understanding that this is a gift of worship? And that worship itself is the gift. And that worship must be God-directed, because if it becomes something like gathering just for entertainment's sake and waiting to see what somebody's going to give me, then it is not worship. It's theater. So is this worship? It is if we look at it as God-directed. If we make sure that it goes towards God, for our gifts of worship are to be directed to God, not seeking for what we're going to find of ourselves. Our gifts of worship directed to God ought to be adoration and praise and celebration of joy and thanksgiving and remembering the gift and celebrating the ransom and understanding all that God has ever done. You see, I hear too often or heard too often as a pastor so many people who would say, you know, I'd go to church, but I never get anything out of it. I'm going to go to church to see what I can get so I can get through next week. And that just, well, since the spiritual hell is on the back of my neck standing up. Because you see, when I come to worship, when we come to worship, it isn't about what we're going to get for tomorrow. It's to celebrate what we got already yesterday and today. And to know that what we're getting and what we got continues tonight, and tomorrow, and for the next day. It's a gift of worship. It's about upward and outward, not inward and self. It's about God, and it's about who God is. And when we give, not so that we can get from God. We come giving because we've already received, and we come realizing what worship is. And when I began to realize what worship truly was, it changed me and my perspective. So I get real intense when I start preparing for worship. My wife will tell you that. Because it's all about celebrating God's goodness. And it's all about celebrating God's gifts. So then, when we've come here with our gifts to prepare for worship, and in worship, and by worship, and to worship, and through worship, we worship God. And as we worship God, we honor God. And the funny part of that is, God has given us the gift to come to His presence. And the funny part of that is, when we come preparing to give to God, God responds. And it's not that we've, as I, oh, the horrible theology I once heard, if we do it right, God will come. You see, that's backwards, folks. God's already here. God has invited us here to be with Him. God has allowed us into His presence. And when we come into His presence and honor God, God responds to us so that we may come back and honor Him again and again and again. And here we are at His table. This table, the gift. The gift of redemption and salvation, the gift of new life, the gift of worship. The gift of Christ, whom we worship. The gift by which we worship and through which we worship. And as we prepare for this table, and as we prepare for worship and all that is yet to come, I'm reminded again of Isaiah, who proclaimed, "I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips," and God brought cleansing. And I'm reminded of Moses, who went before the burning bush, and as he approached, God said, "Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." Let us worship.
Call to confession comes from Hebrews 4:14 through 16. That's located on page 848 in your pew Bible. We'll follow that right along with a prayer of confessional printed in your bulletin. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I invite you to join me in the responsive reading printed in the bulletin. I will read the light print, invite you to join me on the dark print. And please notice as we get down towards the end, there's a time of silent confession, and we'll go directly into that. Let us take this time to confess our sins. Merciful God, for the things we have done that we regret.
Please forgive us, Lord.
For the things we have failed to do that we regret. For all the times we have acted without love.
Please forgive us, Lord.
For all the times we have reacted without thought.
Please forgive us,
Lord. For all the times we have withdrawn care.
Please forgive us, Lord.
For all the times we have failed to forgive.
Please forgive us,
Lord. For hurtful words said and hurtful words unsaid. For broken relationships and hardened hearts. Lord of all, forgive us. Restore our relationships with you and with others. Help us to lay down our burden of regret. Amen. Our assurance of pardon comes from Scripture, not from me by any means. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 26. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
And so we come to the table. Scripture tells us that Paul said, "The Lord gave it to me, and then I passed it on to you." And as I read that scripture, I'm reminded the value of doing this together. I feel like in our world, we, with social media and so many things that feel like the world's much more connected, we are more isolated than ever before. And I don't think that's a drastic statement. As I see and I talk to young people and parents, all of us feel isolated and alone. And the reality is that this table binds us as a symbol of the cross. To be in the presence of God with fellow believers is a gift. And as we consider that this morning, we want you to know we practice open communion, which means if you're a believer, we invite you to share in the communion. You don't have to be a member of our church. If you are a follower of Christ, you are welcome at the table. We do ask a couple of things that because we are doing this together, that you would serve one another. Don't just merely pass the plate, but serve one another. As a reminder of what we should do both here and outside, to serve one another. Scripture also tells us that believers should reflect when it's time for the cup and the bread. We should reflect on our own life. That's why worship flowed as it did.
for us to make decisions. What does this mean for me and my life? How has the bread and the cup mattered to me? What does God need for me to bring to Him for forgiveness? So as we pass the cup and the bread, we pray that you spend that time in reflection, in your own walk. Serve one another. Reflect. May we come to the table. Will you pray with me? Our Father, this is your time. Have your way with us as we remember what Jesus did on the cross. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. So Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you." Broken. Not just bruised, certainly bruised. Broken. And every time we take this, he says, "Remember me." I think often on communion days, the night of the Last Supper, what were the disciples thinking? They had no idea what was coming. And Jesus said, "This is my body, which is going to be broken for you. This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood." He knew. But they had no clue. How things changed for communion for them after Jesus was crucified. They understood. This new covenant in Jesus' blood changes everything. And so Jesus says, "This is the new covenant. The old way, we're not doing it anymore. It's only through the shedding of my blood is forgiveness offered. Take this cup and remember me." I don't know about you, but it's been a powerful day of worship for me. What a gift it has been to be in the presence of God with fellow believers. And sometimes that's exactly what we need to make decisions in our lives, where we have been convicted of where we have held on to a part of our lives and not let God in. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Christ with your life. Today is the perfect day to make that decision. Maybe you followed Christ when you were young, and it's been a while since you talked to him. Today is the perfect day to make a decision to come back to him. He has never left you. Maybe there's a person in your life that you have struggled with. They have done something, said something, made something happen that hurt you deeply, and you're holding on to that. There are so many stories just in this sanctuary. God is powerful enough to take you where you are to where you need to be. This is the opportunity during hymn number 390 as we sing. We're going to have an opportunity. I'll be down front. You're welcome to come and to pray. You're welcome to come talk to me. We are happy to talk about joining our congregation, about helping you with where you are spiritually. This is your opportunity to respond to what you've experienced in worship this day. May we stand and sing number hymn 390. It's been good to be together today. As you go, we encourage you to speak to one another, to hug each other's neck, to meet somebody you've not met before. This is a great opportunity to be the body of Christ before we go out to be the body of Christ. I do remind everyone, pray for the Smith family. They are away this weekend, just spending some time alone. They'll be coming back in shortly, but just be praying for them. Around this time of year, it's a difficult time for them, and so we want to continue to pray for them and lift them up.
on behalf of our staff, we thank you that you trusted us to lead in worship. We thank Steve for a powerful message. We are thankful for the opportunity we have to be together today. After our benediction, there will be a choral response. Then we invite you to stick around and fellowship with one another and have a wonderful Sunday. Will you pray with me? Our Father, it's only by your grace that we have been given this day. So by your grace, we pray that we would go out of this place shining the light of your love with our face, with our words, with our actions. May our hands and feet go where you direct, and may our hearts have the courage to serve you wherever you send us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.